Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Shatkin on your Blog Talk Radio show on every 7 days a week, either at 8 o'clock in the evening, 9:30, 10 or 11, or 6:30, and it's something that is, I think you'll find interesting from time to time when you listen to it. This show is concerned with is a literary component, since I'm a lover of English, French, and Russian and American literature. It has a literary component. It has a theological, biblical component, since I am a Christian. And it also has a philosophical component and focuses on current events and politics from time to time. I am conservative, but I'm very much concerned for the poor underclass as a Christian. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about Jesus and miracles. I think the way I'm going to approach this is that there are many of our Christian friends out there, or non-Christian friends, that find it difficult to accept Jesus as performing miracles. It is in the Gospels. He was born of a virgin, which was a miracle. He was worshipped by three wise men, which was a miracle. Shepherds came to witness his birth. That was a miracle. And he did many miracles in the Gospels, curing people, casting out demons, allegedly casting out demons, and claiming to be God. That was the most significant miracle that he brought to the world, claiming to be God and curing people of maladies and illnesses by miraculous powers. These are all in the Gospels, and they are attested to in many, many instances by these events. So what are we going to say about this Jesus? Is he just a nice fellow? Is he simply a great guy? Is he simply a person that is a very ethical, good person? That seems to be that's one theory about Jesus that people, many people are comfortable with, and they find it difficult to accept his claim to do miracles and his claim to be God, which is why he's able to do miracles. So what are we going to say? Is he simply a nice fellow? Is he simply a good man? Is he simply an ethical person who does good deeds in the world, who did good deeds? That's one aspect of Jesus' ministry, but there is a more basic aspect to it. That is, he claims to do miracles. His birth is a miracle. His resurrection is the grand miracle. He claims to have risen from the dead. He claims to have walked on water. He claims to have cured people of illnesses many, many times. He changed water into wine at Cana in Galilee. These are just some of the miracles that he did. And what are we going to make of these miraculous claims? I think we have to understand that Jesus and his miracles are an essential part of the Christian faith. They can't be ignored. We cannot say to ourselves that they didn't happen, because he says they did happen. They're reported as happening. And they are very important, because these miracles that Jesus performed, from his virgin birth to his teaching the wise men, teaching in the temple, to curing people of illnesses, to casting out demons, and to the ultimate miracle of the resurrection, rising from the dead and becoming a new man, a risen man, the forerunner of the new human race. So what are we going to say about these miracles? Jesus has performed these miracles and is associated with these miracles because he is claiming to be God, and they are part and parcel of his claim to divinity. And therefore, they are something we cannot quite dispense with. We can try and make Jesus into an ethical man, a good man, a kind man, a loving man. I suppose he was all those things. But these miracles in the Gospels, these are very, very important witnesses to his divinity, and his claim to be God and to be the Son of God. That's why the miracle, we have to either accept the miracles as Christians, or frankly we have to go to another organization other than the church, which believes that Jesus is God and did these miracles. If you're going to be in the church, then you have to really go along with these miracles and their report in the Gospels. If you don't want to belong in the church, if you want to go to another organization, you can believe you want about Jesus as a nice fellow and a kind man and a good man, but it won't be the church. It'll be some other group, essentially. So I think I've hit on the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels are his supernatural, or a supernatural event. Very important in Christianity is a supernatural religion with the belief in heaven, going to heaven. It's another aspect of the miraculous. And so we have to understand the supernatural character of Christian religion and Jesus' supernatural presentation in doing miracles. And we will only be Christians if we understand and believe in these miracles. If you don't, that's fine. But you must understand that you have left the church and have joined another group. Maybe it's the Lions Club. Maybe it's Kiwanis. Whatever group you may think of, could be anything, but it's not the church. And it's not the church which believes Jesus is God and performed these miracles as God. So that's as much as I have to say about Jesus and miracles tonight. I'd like to talk a little bit about my background, so you can understand where I'm coming from in this show. This is a politically incorrect show, not politically correct. We don't believe in political rhetoric. We don't believe in media hype, media lawsuits, and media falsehoods. We believe in honest discernment and honest truth. We are interested in critical, honest thinking, not political presentations. Second, I'm a Christian, and I'm not about to abandon that position. It's been my position since I was baptized in 1948 and confirmed in the Methodist Church at the age of 12, and I've believed the Christian faith to be the true faith and still believe it's the true faith. By the way, even though I'm a Christian and I believe in the creeds of the Church, Nicene, Apostles, and Athanasian Creed, and even though I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, even despite this, and I read Christian books, St. Augustine's Confessions, St. Thomas Aquinas, the Epistles of Paul, etc., Calvin, Luther, Bonhoeffer, John Bunyan, and many others. Even though I read those books, C.S. Lewis and T.S. Eliot, and of course Milton, the great author of Paradise Lost, the great epic poem that I can never forget and never stop reading, because in the power of his mind, while he was blind, he was able to write this great epic poem, which concerned itself with Genesis 2, the fall of man into sin. He believed it. He believed it to be true and made it the subject of the great, great poem, which he created by the power of his intellect while yet blind. He also wrote Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes while blind, a feat of prestidigitation that nobody could do except having a very powerful, significantly powerful intellect. Next, I run two radio shows. They're Christian radio shows, a Blog Talk radio show and podcast radio show. I have many visitors from many countries, the Middle East, Muslim countries, and China. And I welcome all faiths and all groups and all ideas and all opinions. I wish to dialogue with everyone and understand others completely to the extent I'm able to and to the extent I can. I welcome all faiths, ideas, and opinions, despite the Christian orientation of these radio shows, which have visitors of all faiths and from all nations and all countries on a constant basis. I have written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, and a book on the Psalms. And the parables are the words of the Son of God, they're the words of Christ. and they are extremely important, overwhelmingly important. Every word that Jesus says is to be weighed and measured, and we must attempt to understand him. And the parables particularly represent these, his ideas and thoughts. And there are 41 of them that I analyze in the book. I've also recently written a book on the Psalms. I read the Psalms in seminary in Hebrew. They're Jewish lyric poetry. And I find the Psalms are fascinating, inspiring, and helpful. I can never stop reading them. I will never stop reading them. Their great, their lyric poetic greatness is so great, and their thought is so great that it cannot be denied. Read the Psalms and come to know God speaking and Christ speaking through the Psalms, in the Psalms, and by the Psalms. I also am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing 3 books of blogs, literary and philosophical and theological and political. These are 3 books of compilations of my blogs. I'm also writing other books, a commentary on the book of Job, which is planned for the future. And I also am writing a book on pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. It's partially written. Someday I'll finish it. I've written 2 chapters. And I have to conclude this by saying I've written 3 major articles on the Syracuse Law Review, an Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. And these articles have been bought by the United States Supreme Court, the Syracuse Law Review, and the State Department in all 3 instances. Although they also have been bought by many, many other universities and colleges. That's much I have to say about myself tonight. I continually feel I should try to raise myself up by the sweat of my brow in reading these great books, and I recommend 2 particularly great books to read. Don't forget them when I mention them. One is Howard's End and A Passage to India by E.M. Forster, 2 great, wonderful books. And another one is by Mortimer Adler, How to Read a Book, in which he says the Bible is the foundation of Western culture. Not a very popular position today. And he says that the images which we try to learn from are drugs, and we are passive receptacles with no thought. And I agree that we can only gain knowledge through print and the thought exhibited in print. This is much I have to say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. And I'll be speaking again tomorrow night. Good night.